Hi, if you are actually giving me a hand if I present myself, I guess you already know me. But for those who don't, I'm from Barcelona, I work at Resistance, there is my Twitter following, and my email in case you want to contact me after this presentation. So, I've been in Kiev for a lot of years already, I lost count. I do a lot of things. There are things that are not in this list, but actually you can see one of them that is highlighted with this commercial. That's the only application I do. Not really. I mean, it's like the hobby of the hobby of the hobby of the hobby. So I only work in Tomozo when Alex and I meet after holidays or something like that. So, I don't do applications in Kili. I'm more of the shell kind of guy, workspace and plumbing and things. Which is really interesting because one day I was, I was thinking about the state of the art of many different things, Android and very much, but not looking at this, I guess. Thank you, Sarah, for this picture. You kind of got me searching, which is difficult. Anyway, I come to this thought. I thought that when I'm on my desktop, most of the time I'm using web applications. Actually, the only application that I use always that is not web is my IDE, which is KDevelop. But for everything else, I keep using web applications. And even for IDEs, I know there are IDEs which are web-based out there, which are doing really, really interesting things. Things related to the things that were mentioned during this presentation. But then, when I'm using my tablet or my phone, what I end up using are native applications. Most of them, I don't do web on my tablet. I do web when I get a link and I open it in the browser, but I usually get the link through the Twitter app or the WhatsApp app or any app. So, why is this? I was especially interested because, in the Kili community, we mostly do native applications, right? And it seems that we do native applications for the desktop, yet in there I'm using web, while in the tablet I'm using all native. So, why? Why is this happening? Why the tablet seems to be a better form factor for the native? First thought I had is this must be a technical decision. Especially in the early days, I own a HTC G1, which was the first Android phone. And in there, browsing the web was hell. The browser was really laggy, really slow. You couldn't use that to browse the web. So I imagine, that must be it, right? Companies wanted to be present in this device, and the only way of doing it was writing a native application. But then the things have evolved. Now, phones and tablets offer a good, really good experience when it comes to the web. And sometimes even better than the desktop. And even more, there are applications that are widely used in the phone and the tablet that are actually written using HTML5, JavaScript, and all that. So it cannot be a technical thing, it must be something else. So what it is. At that point, I started comparing the native applications I had on my tablet, for example, for YouTube or Twitter or Facebook, and the web alternatives I use in my desktop. And I realized that the thing they have in common is that all of them are written for content. They focus, everything they do, they spin, they loop around content. And everything is about content. You will see now. A few examples of how they are focused on the content. They always offer it, always. You go to YouTube.com and you see a bunch of videos. And maybe YouTube.com knows nothing about you, but they are really offering you things. They do this using their IP and the language of your browser and some other things. But the point is, you never feel the emptiness. You are always offered content. In Facebook, I don't know how they do it, but you register an account, and without knowing anybody, they always say, hey, do you know this guy? Do you know this guy? Do you know this guy? And sometimes they even do it only with name, and it might be useful or not, but they always show something. And they do the same thing in the web or in the native applications. They keep a profile of you. This is really, really, really important. They know what you like. They know which content you want to consume. So when you go into YouTube, sometimes it says, hey, it's Monday. That channel you usually watch on Mondays has released a new video. You might want to watch this video. And they actually usually write. And like this, they have this huge amount of information. They know your habits, you know, they know what you want, and they offer it to you. And they offer this specific content to you. This content is shared across devices. I can set a video to watch later in my phone, and then I go to my tablet or to my laptop, and I watch it there. They know which videos I have watched. They know which blog posts I have put in my Twitter, Google Plus, or whatever. They may think this is a minor thing, because people usually have one device, but that's actually not true. This is a theory which they use in market research, which basically is the gray part are the people in the world that create new things. The green part are the early adopters, so the people that, for example, bought a 3D TV, because they're really mistaken, or the people that bought a plasma TV when plasma was burning out after 2 weeks of having it. But when it comes to the smartphone, we are already crossing to the yellowish orange, so the late majority. My parents, both of them, have a smartphone. And my parents, both of them, use YouTube in the smartphone and in the tablet. So it's really important to offer a consistent experience between or across devices. They know you, which is really connected to the profile. Next. And also really important, they offer an experience where you don't have to think. Sometimes you just want to, you know, waste some time in your life and you go to YouTube. And you don't really know that you end up in YouTube, but you are there. And they start offering you content. It's almost like, that happens to me with Wikipedia. I go to Wikipedia looking for information for, I don't know, ALS or something like that. I end up reading about, I don't know, the space program in Soviet Russia and things like that. So, you know, you don't have to think, you actually don't have to stop and you know, decide what you have to watch and what experience you want to have. They know you and they offer it to you. And then sharing. Sharing is really, really, really easy. In this academy, in the Twitter feed, it's been on fire, sharing pictures all day long. And I don't remember the last time I shared anything with a desktop application. It's actually quite horrible. With my phone, I do that non-stop. I take pictures, I send them to WhatsApp, I send them to Twitter. I do the other way around. I get pictures from Twitter and I send them, or share them through some other way. I think yesterday, I wanted to share something with a rep, and I wanted to send him an email, and I could do that directly on my app. It was 2 clicks, but 3, if you count the beginning. So yeah, they make sharing this content really, really, really easy. So what's the current state of things? In the desktop, of course, the TV offerings we have. I'm going to mention 3 applications, and these 3 applications are applications that I love and use at some point in my life. I actually still use. First one is Jack. Jack is a really light, good music application. But if you benchmark it to the points I said before, it doesn't do anything to what I said. So in the time where you had all your local content, Jack was really good. In Jack, what you do is, for example, if you happen to like, I don't know, music played with a rusty tambourine or something, you would have to create a playlist of music played that way. And then it has some craftsmanship part of it. It's something you build yourself, and it's something, you know, you put the data, and it's like creating your collection. But we are too lazy. We don't have time for that shit anymore. And YouTube and Spotify and all those people, they are giving you a collection and this thing for free. Dragon Player, that's another case. Dragon Player is good for one thing. Reproducing one video. If you have one video and you want to play it, it's really good to do. But then you cannot do anything else. You cannot discover all the content. You cannot even discover all the content in your machine. So it's usually you have to go to Dolphin and you have to browse first and go through all the different folders, locate the video you want to play, click on it, and hope that Pattern Player will be able to reproduce it. Too much work. I mean, you have to just go there, click, get content. And aggregator is the only application I keep using a lot. This is actually on a screenshot from, but I have more feeds now. I consume a lot of feeds, as you can see. I really like to be up to date and to know what's going on. And I really, really love aggregator. And I started using it when I realized that half of my day, like, I don't know, 6-7 hours a day, I was spending that amount of time on doing news, on getting, you know, on catch up with the world, catching up with the world. And at some point I was like, oh, there must be a way of doing this in a less amount of time. So I discovered aggregator. And with some shortcut, and with you create the habit, and you are able to go through news really, really fast. You discover what you don't like, and you actually read what you like. Problems, if I have a new I really like, if I have, I don't know, news about iPhone I want to share, or just it or whatever, I don't have a way of sharing that. Or what is even worse, if somebody else in this room has a feed I would be interested on, I cannot discover it. And my way of discovering feed and having content in my aggregator is by going on Google and finding blogs and things like that that I find interesting and then hoping they have a feed somewhere. And again, this is too much work. Aggregator should be able to somehow know what the people in this room like and offering it to me. Because I don't most people here, we are interested in technology, right? So I'm pretty sure that news you are reading, and they are in English or any other language I understand, they will be of interest to me. So how are we going to fix this? What are we going to do? Well, we have to do it bit by bit. We cannot destroy users' workflows and things like that. But we thought we would do is, Lucius and I, we started a new application called Django, which we believe is the future. Django, as it is something said, is a video manager that will learn your habits, or will try, and will have access to your local content, which that's something no web application or cloud system can do. Will be able to always offer you content somehow. We think that, for example, the first time you open Django, if you don't have any content in your hard disk, if it's just an empty installation, we will probably access Gmail, YouTube, or something like that, and try to look for that spot in that moment. Because if not, the alternative is to show a white area, and something saying, you know, empty promotion videos. And that's really, really tough from the user perspective. We want it to be across all your devices. We want your content, local or not, to be shared in your Android phone, in any other plasma shell, etc. So, this is how it looks like. Right now, what we have is really, 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 really basic. It's something we just have in 2 days or 2 nights. Okay, 2 hours. And what it does is it's able to get all the content you have, all the videos you have in your device. And then get some information from them. Detect if it's a movie or a TV show. And then detect the season of a TV show, download a nice cover for it, organize the episodes, download some screenshots, etc. So, I'm already using this. I watch a lot, tens of amount of TV shows. And things as simple as, what is the last episode I watched? This for me used to be a pain in the ass because I watched so many TV shows. And now Django is able to say, hey, you watched this one, that's it. Only that, it's making me not having to think. And that pressure I had before, that even sometimes I need just be like, I'm going to read a book or something. Now I have to. Now I just, I can focus on what I want to do, which is consuming media. And that's the future of Django. Well, as I said, Vishesh had this thing in like 2 hours. So there are many things to be done in order to, you know, to do all the things I presented in this in the first slide. First, we have to create kind of a home dashboard kind of thing. In there is where we will make sure that if we know what we want to do, or we probably know, we will show it there. If it's the first time you start your application, we will just show Gadget things. If you are subscribed to some Gadget channels or to a torrent site or something like that, and there is a new release, then we will show it there. We will actually also, it's not in this list, but we will create plugins for streaming torrent, for downloading torrent. So, yeah, if that's even in your contract, it is not, don't. Then we will be able to allow downloading some patterns in a really easy way. I know for the ones that are native English speakers, that's probably not that much of interest. But when I was learning English, I learned English through TV shows, and I needed the subtitles. And if you're learning any other language, and you know, you need subtitles. And the experience right now for this is, it's horrible. You have to download it. Each version of the episode you have downloaded has a specific subtitle. You have to get the name. You have to go to 1,000 websites. You have to look for the subtitle. You have to try it, because it may not work. And even if it works sometimes, yeah, you have to tune it, and you just have to make this whole experience automatic. Also, if the video you are reproducing has subtitles, we can try to make some smart moves. For example, if your desktop language is Spanish, and you're watching a movie that we know is in English, but that movie has built-in a Spanish subtitle, well, we will just enable it by default, because most probably you will want it. Or at least we will ask you, hey, do you want to enable this? Which is way better than not having to go pause the video and look for the subtitle in the file. YouTube, as I said, I'm quite addicted to YouTube, so that's going to be a special way of it. YouTube is nice, but it's better in my phone. And the phone is offering me things that the web isn't able to, so I want to add awesome YouTube support. Preload videos, essential. I have 200 symmetric megabytes in my home, fiber optic to home. That doesn't exist in Europe, I think, along faster than that. Even though I have a huge bandwidth, sometimes YouTube just gets stuck, and sometimes YouTube just, you know, starts buffering for no reason. So I want to be able to preload videos automatically. I want to have notifications. This is something that I don't have in my phone. The phone will tell me, hey, new video uploaded by you. And then I can, if I'm interested in that content, then I will go, click there and watch it. Or say, watch it later, or preload it, or whatever. And of course, showing the YouTube support in the dashboard. Under remote control, this is actually something really, really interesting. We were wondering why the media centers suck so much. All of them. I'm sorry if there is any problem with media center here. Developer, but all of them suck. And that's the problem. Because they actually look really good. But then all of them suck. So why I don't feel like using the media center? We believe it's because most media centers are designed to be used with their cross, with up, down, left, right, and enter. And that's really annoying. You are here, you want to go there, and you have to go like left, right, bottom. And then sometimes you pass by one, and you have to go again, down, enter. And if you have to write text, for some reason you want to search, oh my God, I got a map. So we believe the problem is in the input. The input based on up, down is just not working. So what we want to do is we want to have an Android app. We will start with Android because it's what we use, but it's probably going to be in Kit, maybe, perhaps, so using it in other platforms will be easy. The idea is we will have a smaller version of Django, which will offer a really similar interface, interface designed for Dutch. So in that case, instead of right, down, click, it will just become a tab. And when you want to search something, you will just grab the smartphone and plug into the on-screen keyboard. And as I said before, most people are starting to have two devices. So if you have a TCAS remote control already, and you probably have your phone connected to your wireless, so why not use it? And under the streaming as well. As I said, we want your content to be everywhere. That's really, really important for us. So, well, if you have a video in your laptop and you want to watch it on your phone and you can't, then you will just switch the other back again. So we need somehow that if you have a video in your laptop, make it available everywhere. And finally, we want to do something uncloudish, cloudish. This is mostly because setting up things in a local network sometimes can be really hard. Sometimes routers decide not to broadcast packets and things like that. So we need something in the cloud, something in the middle. We need to do this with privacy in mind, etc. So, well, there's something in the realm as well. Finally, these are the two guys behind it right now. We expect more people to come in. We don't have a mailing list yet or an IRC channel or anything like that because what we have is 2 hours of research time happening crazy. So please, if you're interested in this, if you really think that desktop applications can go that modern way, and you know at least there are Tomahawk applications in the room and Tomahawk kind of works towards these lines. Anyway, let's join forces, let's talk to the VDG and try to get new applications that are better at content. So that's it. Thank you. Wow. What, sir? I think this is Kiwi Poland Demo. If you take... we have an official weapon now. If you try it, you will see that the latest master only compiles a bunch of tests. We don't even have a binary. So we have resume the development using DDD. And we have another test. But it should change shortly. Actually, you kind of are wrong. There are a few, but sorry, I had a slide where I said that some applications use HTML even if you don't know it. The biggest case of it was the Facebook app, which now has been written in native, but it was a performance decision because the performance was not good enough for Facebook. But the entire application being really deep integrated in the operating system was created using HTML files. So you actually have bridges between the browser and the native things, and actually there are layers in between to make that cross-platform. So you can write an application using HTML and then have access to all services provided by the phone. That was my first thought as well. But there's no local applications though. You actually download it from the market. You don't go to a URL. You download and in the case of Android and APK, you go to Google Market, you download it, you accept the permissions the same way you would accept the permissions on a native application, and actually your web application, you're using web for the front end, for the UI, but everything tells you have a bridge that is actually native, and that's the code of the pipe giving access. That's a short sentence, I can repeat it, I guess. Dion said that it's actually a good use of using the sensors you have built in your devices. So if you can detect that the Bluetooth of your coffin is on, then you show up more romantic movies and things like that, which I think is an excellent point. I think there was somebody over there first. Top there? No? Okay, then text you that. Okay, we actually checked the statement was that it's a good to be able to discover content from other people. We will actually, from other TV people, we will actually need some cloudish thing, or we can have a plan that everybody needs. And that's, I think it's an excellent point. We actually talk about this in the telemetry stream, and we talk about the possibility of offering a Java service to our users, so they will be able to chat. Problem is resources here, I believe. If we don't have data, as you well know, of how many users we have, but if we have millions of users, and so I believe we do, we will need a lot of infrastructure. So, dangerous. Sebas, first. The video says in the record, Sebas is saying that his setup is more of, he has a NAS with videos, and that those videos are offered to DLNA, and he can actually go to the tablet, pick a movie, or whatever, and sell a movie to a TV, which also supports DLNA. Bishop was about to say that he owns a Chromecast, because he doesn't, it's mine. He will implement that in the world. Somebody clear, I think, and then. No, it's an issue of not manpower, of metal power, of we need servers, and we need some way of paying the servers. Thank you. ones left. Don't trick me. Oh, I'm very. It kind of do talks. Okay, so that's it. Thank you all. And if you want.